What's up, you guys? Sean Ross at FightfulSelect.com. It is May 9th, 2021. Did anything interesting happen this week? Yes, it did. We're going to talk about it. We're going to talk about it right now. I know a lot of you are new. This is the Backstage Report podcast. We give you about 15, 20 minutes of just exclusive news that Fightful has reported or that we've elaborated on. We've added some detail on, stuff like that. And this is sort of the show that anchors this this Fightful Select service. So let's get right into it. We had the biggest story maybe of the year. Maybe, hell, I don't know. It was at least the biggest one of Tuesday or Wednesday or whenever the hell we published it. Daniel Bryan is officially a free agent. Well, at least he was as of midnight Friday on April 30th/May 1. It was the midnight of May 1, technically. But I spoke with a source outside of WWE who indicated this to me. And I followed up and had it quickly confirmed by multiple WWE sources, although a couple of them were very hesitant to tell me. And obviously, that's the kind of they want to keep him. So why would they want that out there? But I'll have more on that this week. Now, since then, I have confirmed that the contract did expire. He did become a free agent. At the time, we had gained information that it either expired or was set to expire last week. And at that point, we couldn't necessarily say if he had signed a new deal immediately after or anything like that. We have not heard anything of that nature yet. Bryan had not spoken openly about his contract status in interviews or in backstage among a lot of people, although talent that I have spoken to did know that that deal was coming up or had heard it. Now, he has spoken about when his contract wasn't up, which was September, and we even had that listed in our contract expiration field just based on the details provided, but his deal was actually up several months before that. Whew. So he did an interview with TV Line where they noted very wisely, and a big thank you to TV Line, who are not, I don't think they're wrestling people, but the context that they applied there was very, very important. Within the quote, they put, note, Bryan was tight-lipped about when his contract actually runs out. And Bryan had said, it's funny people gravitate towards the date September, because I think that's when my last contract ended, but it doesn't end in September. And he said that he's still trying to figure out what his deal looks like. Now, this does not mean that Bryan is leaving WWE. It does not mean that he won't work with WWE without a contract. And we're told that he's been vocal about doing some unconventional work with and for WWE, as we have seen in the past. This would not come as much of a surprise, as he has said as much in interviews. But there are a lot of talent that were well aware of this, and they're like, yeah, he's probably gonna see what's out there. He's gonna take his time, so to speak. And those that I spoke to did not know what he was gonna do. Now, I did speak to numerous talent about the expiration of that date and what they think is in store for the Hall of Famer, or the future Hall of Famer. I spoke to people in Ring of Honor, and they said they expect Ring of Honor to at least make contact and make an effort to bring him in. And they said that the company has not been completely out of contact with him in recent years. So I'm sure they're going to make a play. I spoke to a few AEW talent about this, and both of them said that they fully expect Bryan to remain with WWE, with one outright saying they've heard he's staying with WWE. Now, we didn't confirm that. That's just a speculation. Like I said, I like to take the temperature of the situation, see how talent is feeling, see how officials are feeling. WWE is hopeful they're going to get him back, and they're trying pretty hard to get him back. He is not the kind of guy they want on the free agent market, but then again, they haven't really made a play for Punk. Brock Lesnar's out there. Samoa Joe's out there. But there's a bit of a difference here. Daniel Bryan, I don't want to say fairly recently, but 7 years ago, was the hottest wrestler on the planet, the most over wrestler on the planet for that period of time. And unfortunately, injuries derailed that, but they got him back. They don't know what he's going to do yet. I don't know if he knows what he's going to do. I have not spoken with him about that, but that's a big one. And I would imagine that a whole lot of people are going to make a play for Daniel Bryan, and they should. You have to at least try to talk to him. No matter what company you are, if you're AEW, Ring of Honor, Impact Wrestling, New Japan, if you're MLW, you have to at least reach out and try. You can't assume that he might not want to do it. You never know the motivations of a guy like that. An artist who happens to also be a multimillionaire, who also happens to have a multimillionaire wife, you never know the motivations of anybody, much less one that is probably financially well off. I would imagine very happy with his personal life, considering at least what we see, and everything seems peachy. It would appear that things are going swimmingly for him, and he is in a very, very good place from a negotiation standpoint. Well, as one person leaves, possibly some more come in. WWE had a female set of tryouts on May 6 and 7 in Orlando, and Fightful has learned some more about some of the participants. There were some familiar indie names and a lot of athletes, bodybuilders, stuff like that, but there were four notable names that we've heard of. Natalia Markova, she is not a stranger to the process. She had a WWE tryout in 2017. She has worked Evolve, Progress, Shine. She's been working well over a decade. She's got a lot of experience, but as far as in the ring, I don't know if that's what WWE is looking for. But then again, they just brought back Eva Marie. I don't know what the hell they're looking for. So who knows? Ava Everett, another great name coming out of the Northeast. She's wrestled since, I think, 2018, working a lot of Limitless Wrestling of late. Made appearances for CZW, Beyond, and others. There's Tesha Price, a four-year wrestler who's appeared for WWE in the past and wrestled Britt Baker in a dark match during the Mae Young Classic. Did an enhancement match against Lacey Evans on NXT in 2018. But she has been a regular on AEW Dark since November and made about 20 appearances, including a Dynamite match against Abaddon. Alex Gracia is another name, and one that surprised a lot of regular AEW viewers because they thought that she was kind of anchored there, so to speak. That's not the case. She has not been seen there since she got squashed by Dr. Britt Baker, DMD, on AEW Dark Elevation, but she's made appearances for NWA, Stardom, Impact Wrestling, Evolve. She is a prize student, so to speak, of Thunder Rosa, and she has been working AEW. She worked AEW from about September to March, worked Hikaru Shida on Dynamite in December. She is the one that ideally you would look at and you would go, oh, WWE's going to take her. She's got a good look. She gets the social media. She is not problematic in any way that we've heard. She does a lot of... She gets a lot of the aspects of wrestling. She's worked plenty of TV by this point between AEW and stuff like that. She had a tryout in the past as well, so... She's the one that I'm most looking at going, okay, she's probably gonna get picked up. But really, Ava Everett, Gracia, and Tesha Price all have a really, really good chance. WWE is in love with that Northeast area right now, and Ava Everett is from there. So, yeah, a good one there. But they're not the only women looking to gain some work. Killer Kelly. As it turns out, she's not looking to gain work. She's just looking to get the hell back into the States. It seems like she made a good impression back in November, because I was told as far back as then, oh, they're bringing her in, they like her a lot. But then I heard around January or so, like it's a done deal, they're bringing her over. But the embassy in Portugal has been closed for interviews, and she's been stuck overseas for almost half the year after planning to be back in January. They do like her a lot. I don't know if pen to paper has been signed. I don't know if there's like an actual contract on the table and she's already getting paid or anything like that. But I know the plan is Killer Kelly to Impact Wrestling. That has been the plan dating back to like November when she made a very, very good impression in the company. And they're looking to restock that women's division that over the last year has lost Tessa Blanchard, Kylie Rae, and Taya Valkyrie. They re-signed Jordan Grace, And she revealed that on the PWI podcast that she signed a new multi-year extension. We were able to confirm that multi-year extension is 2 years, which will carry her into May of 2023. I've heard of at least one company that was interested but was under the impression that Jordan was going to stay with Impact. Some of you may remember that Jordan Grace really finessed Impact. And I mean, I think in the purest sense of the word, finessed. She was brought into the company in the fall of 2018. And there was a deal presented, sent back, and I don't think it was signed and finalized. But Impact Wrestling had put the news out there. I believe it was to PW Insider that Jordan Grace had signed. Well, she actually hadn't signed at all. And she was not making the money that she really wanted there. So she waited about 5 or 6 months, proved that she could draw viewership and get buzz and do well in the ring. And then when she was in a really good position, it was the month of AEW Double or Nothing 2019. She went to them and she was like, "Hey, I don't have a contract. I would like a contract. I would like a raise on the original pay that I've been getting." Yeah. And they gave it to her. There was some discussion about that, and they did give her that. And there was speculation back then, "Oh, is she going to go to Double or Nothing?" She was booked up that weekend. I interviewed her about it. She was like, "Nope, I wasn't going to go there. I just wanted to increase my value, and I did it in a way that I felt was necessary," and she did. And she now, obviously no bad blood there, because she just signed a new 2-year deal with Impact Wrestling. She could go down as one of the most important knockouts of all time. I think that she is such a unique performer. There is nobody quite like her in wrestling. And for Impact Wrestling to be able to hold on to that, that's awesome. And that doesn't necessarily mean that we're not going to see her somewhere else based on the landscape of wrestling right now. Speaking of other places and people working together, there have been conflicting reports regarding the emerging details of MLW and WWE having discussions regarding talent sharing. Many in NXT were left in the dark about the situation and didn't know until the rumor had emerged, but we can confirm Dave Meltzer's report that the preliminary conversations have happened and the talks go very high up in WWE. We're told they go high up in both companies, but don't have any details beyond that. AEW, to clear up any confusion, AEW set up the two rings at the last set of tapings, filmed the matches that aired in hour one of Dynamite this past week. Fans in attendance said the mood was good during that hour, at least those that we spoke with. Kenny Omega and Michael Nakazawa appeared in front of the live crowd for their promo, and a couple of segments had some time trimmed from them to meet some time constraints. Both Nakazawa and Cody Rhodes were busted open hard way, and we're told that those weren't blade jobs or anything. We're also told that Darby Allin is good, and I mean, that was in quotation marks. He's good after the filming of him being thrown down the stairs, and is expected to make his match with Miro for the AEW TNT title as planned. And I made sure to note, as good as you can be being thrown down a flight of stairs. We followed up about any major injuries from Blood and Guts, and have not heard of any as of now, but Sammy Guevara did suffer a laceration to his head. Other injuries, Kip Sabian, we hadn't seen him wrestle for over a month after he returned from an injury that had him sidelined for a couple before that. We were not told of a specific injury, but were informed in late April that Sabian was on the shelf again prior to being attacked by Miro on the last week episode of Dynamite. Sabian tweeted that he needed surgery, and we're told that is being used. The attack is being used to explain that. Well, I had to explain this week that Tessa Blanchard is not whatever the diamond mine is. I've heard a little bit about the diamond mine, but there were people in WWE that wanted me to specify that it was not Tessa Blanchard. They did not want that misconception. They did not want that expectation. The Diamond Mine is being played close to the vest within the company. What little I've heard has changed. So I don't know what the Diamond Mine necessarily is going to be as of right now, besides the fact that Tessa Blanchard ain't it. And there were officials in WWE that, when I asked, they were very quick to get back to me on that one. Blanchard has used the diamond imagery in the past, so that's where I think a lot of fans were kind of running with that. Jeff Jarrett. I interviewed Jeff Jarrett. He did like legitimately 40-plus interviews to promote My World, which is a fantastic podcast. And I wanted to ask him about stuff that he hadn't been asked about. So I talked to him about Randy Savage and TNA. And it was good timing because they had the Dark Side of the Ring, or not the Dark Side of the Ring, it was the A&E special. He said that it was more of his own father, Jerry, and Randy's father, Angelo Poffo, and that relationship that they had established that got Jerry in contact with Randy more so than Jeff. I mean, Jeff shared a locker room with Randy here and there, but like not a ton. By the time Jeff was in WCW, Randy was largely gone. He didn't do much there. And Randy hit the bricks around the time that Jeff was really getting some steam in WWF. Now, Jeff was there for a lot of 1994 before Randy Savage left, but it seems like they didn't have a ton of interaction, so to speak. And they've never had a one-on-one match. They've never had a program or anything like that. So he said it was primarily his dad that made that happen. We spoke to the former Sin Cara and Junico. He was brought to the Raw brand shortly before his release was granted in late 2019. He said that he saw the writing on the wall there. You might remember that right before he was released, he was brought up with a young masked female wrestler, Catalina Garcia, as she was called then. They've changed her name 42 times since then, but it's Katrina Perez right now, which seemed to be a call-up for her. But Sin Cara told me that that was not the case at all. And he said that they were only there to get Andrade and Zelina over, and there were no long-term plans for the duo. And that when he asked Paul Heyman what was up, Paul Heyman straight up told him, the Sin Cara character is dead. Man, if that ain't a dose of reality for you, that's something. I also talked to him about the treatment of Mexican wrestlers, and he said that if he were a Mexican wrestler in WWE, he'd be pissed off because none of them got on the WrestleMania card. Not a one. And he's right. And he was like, the only Latino talent was Damian Priest and Bad Bunny. And he said, all due respect to them, you need some Mexican talent on the show. I don't think he's wrong. I also asked him about the fights he got into with Sheamus and Chris Jericho and Simon Gotch. And he broke down each one of them and why they happened and the respect or disrespect involved. And he said, sometimes boys will just be boys. And sometimes you gotta fight it out. Got some injury updates. EC3 has been discharged from the hospital. Good news for him. Jimmy Uso returns. He has been out of action since last year's WrestleMania. Ah, it's so good to see him back and immediately inserted in a program with Cesaro and Jay and Seth Rollins and Roman Reigns himself. It is good to see Jimmy Uso also getting at least this opportunity that Jay got as well, and it's a fresh coat of paint, my friends. I am so excited for it. Contract news, as we mentioned, Daniel Bryan's has expired. Jordan Grace has signed a new 2-year deal with Impact, and we have removed the Von Erichs from our contract update. They signed a multi-year deal in April, May of 2019, so we don't know if it's up, we don't know if it's got extended, anything like that. We'll work to find out for you. But hey, hit us up. Let me know in the comments. What do you all want to see me talk about more? What do you want to see me find out more about? I'll see what I can. I'll do what I can do, my friends. Spread the word, Fightful.com. We do not spend money on advertising our shows. We spend money on paying our staff and reinvesting into Fightful Select and Fightful as a brand and again, paying people for their hard work that they do for us. So your word of mouth is very, very important to us. I cannot tell you how important that is to our growth. When people see that other people are willing to subscribe and willing to spend their hard-earned money, which we truly appreciate, they are more open to doing it. And when they're more open to doing it, we can pay our writers better. They can devote more time. I can devote less time to the stuff they're working on. I get more scoops. You guys get more news. It's a circle, my friends. Thank you all so much. This week was really, really great. At the end of every month, because of Patreon's model, we have a lot of subscriptions drop off. And admittedly, when I saw that, I was like, oh, man, that's a bummer, because we had a lot. And we got them all back already in this first week. Thank you all. I'm humbled that you all give a shit. Thank you. We're out.